Well, if you haven't noticed, and it's not quite as noticeable perhaps as in other services, we're beginning the church year with the first Sunday of Advent. This particular day is one in which we begin a four-week season. We often think of it as leading to Christmas, which it does, but it's its own season. It stands on its own, and it's a season especially that is concerned with how we prepare our hearts in preparation for the Lord's coming. Because Advent is really referring to two different things. Advent, the first time, was when our Lord became human, became a little baby in Bethlehem, what we'll remember in a few more weeks. And that coming changed the world. That coming of Jesus among us as God with us helped us know that God is involved in our lives through a life of one person, that God loves us and all that Jesus did, his teaching, his ministry, and eventually his death and resurrection were all about God letting us know God's connection and great love for us to call us towards something. And that's the second Advent. It's something where we're looking toward the future in God that is going to include God's total healing. What began in the first Advent with Jesus coming will continue in that second Advent. And to describe that, this first Sunday in Advent, the church always appoints a particular type of gospel. It varies from year to year, from Matthew to Mark to Luke, whatever the gospel is that we're focusing on in that particular year. But it's always the same type of the gospel, what is called the little apocalypse. It's a language we just heard, and it's in different sections of the gospel. It's part of what Jesus' teaching is, not something we always focus on as much. But apocalypse is this word that's come into the more common language, and we think of apocalypse, we think of the end of the world, we think of a great destruction. There was a movie, I think, with Bruce Willis about that, about a meteor. But that apocalypse really means revealing. And actually, in Greek, that word that we get apocalypse from is the word that is the title of the book we know as Revelation at the very end of the Bible. But it's something more than destruction and great end of world type things. It's a conclusion, a culmination, what some have called the fullness of time. And one way, like I said earlier, is that second coming when the Son of Man comes, as it says in the gospel, it'll be a time when who God intends us to be is fulfilled. So that intention of what God has for us is where all wrongs will be righted, there'll be justice. There'll be what is called a beloved community, that all that God has wanted for us will be what we live and enjoy. So that really gives us hope. It gives us something we can look toward. And if that is true, if it gives us hope, then it also gives us some sense of expectation that we, as people called toward this end of times, this conclusion of times, that it has implications for us today. What our faith means is we live in expectation, that we're moving towards something that is going to be wonderful. So that's why this first Sunday of Advent and this particular passage of Scripture is important, because Advent calendars have a whole new meaning now. They've kind of entered the popular culture. It's kind of a countdown, and they can be fun. You can get chocolate, or some of the adult forms have other things, but that's really kind of using a term not exactly for what it is pointing toward. It's fun. Maybe call it the countdown calendar instead of the Advent calendar. But again, if we have this glorious future that we anticipate that gives us hope, then Jesus also gives us some things to be mindful of in how we live a faith of expectation. The gospel, right before what we read, he talks about not being deceived. That's not in the reading for today. But that there are religious folks who will take things around the end of times, the apocalypse, they'll write books about it, and some of that is fine, but some of it is also drawing you into this maybe misunderstanding of the apocalypse, of that end of time as something that will be insiders and outsiders in a way that you can predict even, in the extreme. You see these groups that say, Jesus will come, next Thursday based on our calculations from the Bible. So that understanding of apocalypse is not helpful. It's not, I think, what Jesus had in mind. So don't be deceived. You can read the books if you want to, but don't put a lot of your faith in them. The other part, along with don't be deceived, is to be humble. To be humble in at least two ways. One is, again, not knowing when the end will be. So for those of us who are more mindful of that, you know, don't think we're the ones that have special knowledge. But also to be humble for those of us who may dismiss all this and say, well, this is old-fashioned or this is irrelevant or not rational. And so you may not take this sense of Advent seriously. And I would say to you, as a person who's very rational, yes, it's not rational. It's not intended to be something you predict and use like you would statistics or modeling. It's more something interior, how God is calling us to imagine something more than our day-to-day life that is in God's heart for us. And then the third thing that Jesus in this passage says five different times is some version of beware, keep awake, keep alert. That is really a theme that this first Sunday of Advent, the gospel for this week, always is calling us toward. Is, are we paying attention? Are we paying attention in our day-to-day? Are we paying attention to people around us who may be hurting that need our care or a listening ear? Are we a mindful people? And that's part of what Advent is about too, is being alert in the way that Jesus teaches. And not only that, but to be alert for the way that Jesus comes that is more in our daily lives. It'll be that fullness of time, that end of time when the Son of Man will be revealed, as it says in this passage that is quoting Daniel, or as we say in our creed that the Lord will come again to judge the living and the dead, but that there's a way that Jesus comes that is more common. One is what we're doing right now, that Jesus is here, it says, whenever two or three gather in his name, that he is in the midst of us as we gather around Scripture and especially reading the gospel, as we hear sermons, as we confess our sins and pray, and as we receive forgiveness and a sense of consolation. And then what we do later as we gather to receive communion, that all those ways of being church are really centered on Jesus' presence with us. And then beyond church, that Jesus is with us in ways that are unexpected in some way, that he promised to be seen, like we heard in the gospel last week, among those who are poor, those who are sick, those who are strangers, among prisoners, that as we care for and love and develop relationships with people who are suffering in some way, that that has a way of us finding Jesus as well. So here in church, beyond church, and in unexpected ways, when you least expect it, maybe in the stillness of our faith, maybe at night in our bed, but in our prayers, we have that sense of his presence, that he has promised to be with us always to the end of the age. So a question for us as we leave may be, when have I had that experience of Jesus being present to me? Hopefully, right from this service, you've experienced it. But in some memorable way, I thought of one experience that has stayed with me for now over 4 years. And it was during my sabbatical in early 2016. And I went to a place where our youth group was going to go on a mission trip in Honduras later. So I went first because I'd been before, and I kind of wanted to share some of the same experiences they were going to be having. And so I did some of the typical things on mission trips. I helped repair a barbed wire fence. I found out I'm not really good at it, and that's really hard, but I did it. And then I did things. I was doing like a workshop for some of the folks who are lay ministers in really some pretty tough parts of Tegucigalpa, the main city, but they're working to help young men, especially, and women stay out of gangs. And so our church helped to fund for those leaders to get away to a resort for a while, for a season. And I did a workshop with them. I had what I was teaching translated, which was interesting. So I did things like that. I hung out with a missionary who was also a friend. But all those kind of activities that were special, the best part where I really found Jesus was toward the end. And they have a residential school where young kids from little ones like 1 and 2 years old on up have a place to stay that's safe. And what the missionary said, because, you know, I can tend to stay in my head and work and forget some of the important ways that Jesus comes to you. She said, why don't you get down on the ground with these kids? And these kids were just finishing up some papaya, I think. You know, not the dry stuff, but the nice, juicy stuff. So they had it all over them. And then they came and they hit me, you know, like a wave in the ocean. You know, they just hit me and knocked me over. There are probably 8 or 9 of them. And they're like little puppies jumping on me, knocked off my glasses. But the good part is, you know, I was able to, you know, recover my balance and spend time with these little children in a way that, again, I felt Jesus among us. Because not only was it that experience, that fun thing, but I also knew their stories, that these were children that often had come from very difficult environments. They had been rescued and protected. And they had their tias, the staff there, the aunties who would help to care for them, give them meals as they got older, help to be sure they did their lessons. And that confluence, that intersection of these little kids and the joy of being children, their resilience, and knowing their stories that were difficult and their continuing story that was part of God's love for them expressed in the people, the hands and feet of Christ, and those missionaries and teachers and tias, that for me was an experience of Christ among us. So again, for us during this holy Advent season, I invite us to look up, to expect our Lord's return at the end of time, but also in our day-to-day. Amen.